Hello, everybody. Do I look any tanner? Yeah. We had to show them Haley's passport just to get her out of there. I mean, Heidi. They didn't want to let her leave. All she had to do was speak a word of Spanish, and that had kept her. She got dark. She just gets dark. The minute she hits the sun, she just gets completely dark, and we was laughing about it, so... We had a great time last week, and I just want to thank y'all again for the wonderful gift of sending us off to spend time with our family. And it was one day too long, but that's not because it was planned, but because we got caught in Atlanta Airport and stayed in this wonderful hotel for about 3.5 hours, it seemed like. And I woke Heidi up. I said, Heidi, come on, it's time to go. We got to get to the airport. She said, I just went to sleep. I said, that's exactly how I feel. And so, but we had a fantastic time and had a great time with our family. We ate way too much. Has anybody ever went to one of those all-inclusive resorts? Yeah. It's dangerous. I think Haley and Peyton went on they called it a restaurant crawl the last night we were there. They ate at four restaurants, a full meal at four restaurants the last night we were there, because you could just go from restaurant to restaurant and eat. And so it was just real dangerous. But we had a great time, and we're glad to be home. It was fun. It was great, but we're glad to be home. And I found that there's something special about the culture of south of the border, just not just Mexico, but I loved Honduras. I'm sure that Ollie's going to take me to Colombia with him. I'm going to love Colombia. I just love Spanish-speaking people. And Salvador, how you say it? You're from Honduras, though, right?
No.
Okay. That's a little joke between us. And so I tell her she's always my favorite Honduran person. She's not Honduras at all. So, but I just love that culture. I love the food. I love everything about it, but there's no place like home. Amen. So let's read today. Before I read from Romans 8:31, I want to just mention that Monday night prayer, and I know it's summertime, so bring the kids. Yes. Bring the kids. We love for kids to be at Monday night prayer, and sometimes they sit on the wall and they're playing their little video games, but a lot of times they really engage and just being in the presence of the Lord. We think it's great for our kids to be a part of that. So bring your kids and come to Monday night prayer. They're not a part of the church of tomorrow. They're today's church. And if you want to experience that, I recommend you stay for second service. Yeah. Because they're going to be sharing with you their time at the ramp. And so I'm sure it's going to be amazing. I really don't even plan on preaching next service, quite honestly. I figure they'll just take over, and that'd be fine. And just encourage you, if you want to be a part of that, stay. And then Father's Day next Sunday. It's not just Father's Day, although we're excited about celebrating fathers, and we feel like men are the heart of God. But we are also kicking off RFK camp. So this week, let's be praying into that. Let's just be praying over our RFK team. Let's be praying over the kids that are coming. I don't want to start crying, but my kids think it's a bad day when they run out of gas in their car. Or they didn't get four meals in a day. Or they didn't get ice cream. And I'm glad that they have all those things. But these kids have experienced most of their entire life trauma. And they've gone from bad situation to bad situation to bad situation. And this is a week of heaven. And I think we ought to make it a week of a holy encounter for them. And so we can pray this week, and we can spend some time with the Lord, and we can invest in their life. So RFK is not a program within our church, but it's a heartbeat of our house. Amen. We love these kids. And it's a very dangerous thing's happening next week. I'm going to RFK camp, and I've resisted for this reason right here that you see. It's because I'll probably need a big house and a bus because I want to take all these kids home with me. So let's just pray on that this week. All right, let's make that a week of prayer. And Jesus said, suffer not the little children to come to me. Kids are the heartbeat of the Father. And so I'm very thankful for our kids in our house. But I want us to pray into that this week. Sorry about the tears. Phew. Wow. Just give me a second. All right, Romans 8. I'll try to preach this now. The last two times I've preached from Romans 8. I kind of want to wrap up Romans 8 today. I don't think I'll be very long. The minute I say that, it's long, but I don't think I'll be very long. This is a very important passage of Scripture that I think that we kind of hoorah to, but we don't always get the very meat of it because it can be just cliche in our Christian communication of like, oh, yeah, we're overcomers. But to understand that we really are more than conquerors. So let's read. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Everybody say us all.
Us all.
Say that includes me.
Includes me.
How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Say all things.
All things.
Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? That's me.
That's me.
It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus, the one who died, more than that, who has risen, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Come on, somebody. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we're all being killed all the day long, and we're regarded as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm not sure that neither death nor life nor angels, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor death, nor anything else. And all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ our Lord. Let's read that again. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors to him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor death, nor any else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to just start today by the question, or really it's a statement. It says, if God is for us, then who can stand against us? It's really a statement, not a question, that if we know that God is for us and that God loves us and we are his children, I want you to ask yourself this question today. Do you really know that God is for you and that you're his child and that he really, genuinely loves you? Do you really understand the power of knowing that God, who created the universe with a spoken word, is deeply in love with you? Now, we say that because most of us have been around church most of our life, and we've sang the songs in Sunday school, Jesus Loves Me, and How Do I Know? Because the Bible Tells Me So, and all those songs about the love of Jesus. But do we really honestly know that he loves us and that he's caring for us and that he's watching over us and that he loves us with this crazy kind of love. I think sometimes because of what we go through in life and the things that happens in life, and nobody in this room, including myself, I'd be like the Apostle Paul would say that there's no greater sinner among you than myself. And that we would say that, you know, because we have not perfected, we're not perfected, that sometimes we take the pitfalls of life and the situations in life, and we really judge the love of God based on that rather than the fact that he loves us regardless of. Our concept sometimes of God's love is really is almost a reaction to how much we love God, instead of understanding that the way we love God is knowing that he loves us. If we could flip that around a little bit, if we could stop judging God's love on our actions but start judging God's love on him, on his truth, it would change our perception, because then when we did not do what we were supposed to do, we would immediately come back and say, okay, he still loves me. And that's so important. And I've said this so many times before, but so many times the enemy don't have to condemn us because we're so good at condemning ourselves. Because we don't understand God's love. I'm just looking at a bunch of eyeballs looking at me right now. Somebody say amen or something. Amen. Somebody say he loves me. With a crazy kind of love, he loves me. And we compare our love with God and his love for us so many times based on our own emotions and our own ability to love or not love. But it's not true, because he loves us with incredible love. So to know this is not a question, but it's a statement that God really loves his children. And since we know that God loves us, then comes the question, then who could stand against us? You know, I've got some great friends and family in this place, you know. And I got people in here that take up for me. They would stand for me. So, and sometimes stand for me even when I probably deserve not to be stood for. And you do too. That people take up the slack for us. They love you in spite of. But they cannot possibly understand that if God is for us, if God loves us, then who? All the enemies of the world, all the people who say, all the people that do things against you, all the things that are against you, cannot stand against this amazing love of God. Amen. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Yes. His love always overcomes our failures, our faults, our mistakes, those that are against us. When things come against us, when life hits us in the face, his love is always so amazing. So if God be for us, then who? Then who? If we got the God of the universe that created the whole universe, who spoke the world into existence, on our side, what more do you need? Can I get a better amen? Amen. You know, I say this, and I like sometimes we look around to see who's on our team, but we don't understand the team we're on. I'm going to think about that for a minute. One, he has proven his love for us by giving his son to die so that we might live. And there's no greater love than this. We say this so many times in church that I feel like sometimes it becomes just another, like a church little saying. He gave his son to die for us that we might have life and have more money. Have you really treasured that thought? Have you really treasured the thought that God loves you so much that he gave his son to die so that when you sin or before you sin, or even in your sin, that he's already taken on your sin to redeem you from the bondage of this sin, to redeem you from the even the penalty of this sin. What an amazing thing. What amazing thing to understand the power of this kind of love that really takes us to a whole nother level. Who would dare accuse us that God has chosen? Who can accuse you? The Bible talks about Satan as the accuser of the brethren, and we know sometimes when accusations come, we can feel the heart of where that accusation comes from. But who can really accuse you? You can only be accused if you take on the accusation that's been given to you, because there's only one judge. There's only one judge. So who would dare to accuse us that God has chosen? There is only one judge, and it is God, and no one else has the authority to judge you. Sometimes we live in the judgments of what we think people think about us, or what they may have said about us, or what's going on in our lives, when the fact is that who can judge you? If I take on the judgments of other people, if I let other people judge me, then I am listening to a voice that's not from my Father. And oftentimes I have listened to other voices, and I've taken on the judgment of something else. And that always brings me to a place of self-ridicule and just be honest. Let's be honest. It brings damnation in our life. And we say, well, we want to live victorious, but we're listening to the wrong voices. And none can accuse you. If God is for you, then who can stand against you? And we need to sometimes stand in the face of the accuser and say to the accuser, but do you know who I am? Tell your accuser, do you know who I am? I'm a child of the Lord. I'm a king's kid. I'm royalty. I'm not perfect, but I'm the king's kid. I've always said, you know, don't mess with my kids. Don't mess with my kids. A daddy can get fired up about his kids. Come on, somebody. Don't mess with my kids. And I feel that way sometimes when I even in my own frustrations with raising kids, and I'm sure they get frustrated with me as an earthly father as well, in the frustrations of all that, you know, I may want to come down on them, but you better not. Can I get a better amen? I may want to spank their behind, but don't you take that upon yourself. For me and you, going to have a fight. You understand what I'm saying? So if an earthly father feels that way, how much more does a heavenly father, like, hey, devil, don't be messing with my kids. I died for them. I'm not willing to die. I already have died for them. I'm not willing to go the extra mile. I've already gone the extra mile. It's not an ideal. It's already happened, and they're my kids, and I care about them with a crazy kind of love. And he redeemed us with his own blood, taken on all of our sins, and he said over to our life, not guilty. Come on, somebody. You ought to shout right there. That he said over your life, not guilty. Others may call you guilty, but he said not guilty. Right. I've taken on your sin. I remove that from your life. I remove those mistakes from your life. I remove that past from your life. I remove those scars from your life. Not guilty. Amen. Not guilty. Every day of our lives, Jesus is standing in the gap praying for us. Every day he's interceding for us. Listen, sometimes we get to wondering, well, who I'm in this lowest, you know, when you're in the down and outs, and who's praying for me? Let me tell you something. When you got Jesus interceding for you, who else do you need? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He has direct access to the Father. They're having a conversation over your life. Who else do you need? Oh, man, that went like. Who else do you need in your life? If Jesus is interceding for you, who else do you need? I don't know any greater authority. I don't know any greater authority than the one who died for me is interceding for me. He's standing in the gap for me. What an awesome thing. I'm not saying that we don't need people in our life. I'm just simply saying when they don't feel like we have people in our life, we have him. And he's not enough. He's more than enough. Every day of our lives, Jesus is praying. He's praying. He's interceding. And his love never fails. His love never fails. He never gives up on us. He never runs out on us. He never, ever, ever comes to the place that he says, hey, you're not worth it. You're not worth it. You know, I've heard people talk about, well, you know, you don't understand all the sins of this person's life or that person's life and this or that has happened. Let me just share something with you today. The scripture says there's only one impardonable sin, and that's that you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And I won't get into a bunch of theology on this, but first you got to have the Holy Spirit before you can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So somebody that's a non-believer is not blaspheming the Holy Spirit that they've never had. And I don't know how. I think it's quite difficult to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I don't think that's just simply saying I'm having a bad day. I don't know if God loves me or not. That's not blaspheming the Holy Spirit. How many has ever questioned whether God loved them or not? Don't raise your hand. Or how many has ever questioned, look, what God are you doing in my life? Yeah, why am I in this particular situation? What's going on in the world? What? Help me, God. I don't understand. Have you left me, Lord? Have you abandoned me? Have you forgot about me? How many's ever had that thought? How many's ever questioned God? Why? Why, God? Why that? Why this? Why? How could you do that? That's not blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I don't know why I'm even getting off into all this, but I just want you to understand that we fall. We make mistakes. We sin. We live in this corruptible body, and we try to sometimes judge or measure sin one by another. We have, you know, this bad sin and then this not so bad sin. You know, I hear people say, well, it wasn't really a lie. It was kind of a white lie. So we minimize that down. And we have these standards that we have created. The Bible simply says this, he that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him is a sin. But even in our sin, Christ's love and care for us does not diminish. Amen. Even when we fall, even when we come short, even when we don't do what we're supposed to do, Christ doesn't walk out the door on us. And it's so important that we understand that. Because so many times we struggle living for God and we let the words of the enemy come against us because we do fail. And when we're in our failures, then we hear the wrong voice. So it's so important. I know I'm repeating myself, but I want to drive that point home today. I'm just going to say this. I think so much of the church world, Christians, have not really understood fully how crazy in love he is for us. So that's why it's so easy to fall back into this self-judgmental thing. Again, I'm repeating myself, but I feel that it's important that we understand that his love for us is so amazing that he never gives up on us. And he's sitting in heavenly places, and he's interceding before the Father for us. And night and day, he's caring for us, no matter what you're walking it through. That's it. So then he comes to this. It says, so what can separate us from the love of God? So who can separate us from the love of God? What situation can separate us from the love of God? A few weeks ago, I mentioned this, that, you know, no man, the Bible says, no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. But you know what? You can walk away from the Father's. You can choose not to let his love in your life, just like you choose not to let other people's love in your life. You can choose to reject his love. The only thing standing between you and his love is the decision you make not to accept his love. But even when you don't accept his love, it doesn't stop his love. His love stands at the door and knocks on your heart even when you don't receive it. Now, that what kind of love is that? That's crazy kind of love right there. Hey, honestly, we don't operate that way in the natural, do we? Like a few times of rejection from your love, we pretty much like, check. Check. I'm done. Next. I'll find a new friend, a new person, new life. But God's love stands and knocks at the door of our heart continually, continually, continually. So who can separate us from the love? No one. There's nothing in this world that has the power to take away this amazing love. Trouble, pressure, problems, persecution. We live in a world full of trouble. Even the scripture tells us that we're born in this world and it's short and it's full of trouble. So we live in a world full of trouble and under this pressure of life, and we have problems in life. But even in the pressure and the problems of life, nothing can separate us from this love of God. In the midst of all of these issues going on in our life, his love never fails. And here's where I want to land today. We're not just having the ability to overcome, but the scripture says that we are more than conquerors. There's one thing to be a winner, but there's thing to be just leave the rest of the pack. And I always like to watch, it always amazes me that in these races that there's always seems to be this one runner that always, that the winner seems to be always this. Very few times is it close. There's always this one person that's light years ahead of the pack. He or she has just took off and left everybody else. And they cross the finish line. And so you almost have like this more than conqueror person, and then you have this group that's coming in second, third, and fourth. Anybody get that visual this morning? We're that person that's already sitting on the bench drinking Gatorade. We're more than conquerors. Hey, y'all come on by. Here, let me take a picture of y'all. Second, third, fourth. I'm already resting. I'm already here. I've already arrived. I'm already in my spot. I've already got my ribbon. Glad y'all can make it. Anybody got that picture in their mind right now? I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not just getting here. I'm not just surviving, I'm not just pushing through the day, but I am more than a conqueror. I want you to say that today. I want you to say over your own life, I am more than a conqueror. If you don't believe that, nobody, you're not going to be. You got to say to yourself every day, today I'm more than a conqueror. Today I'm not just striving to live for God. I'm not just striving to make it through the day. I'm not just pushing through this moment, but I am more than a conqueror. I'm ahead of the rest of the pack. I'm leading the race. Well, Pastor, you said everybody was leading the race, so we're all in a pack again. I'm just telling you that you need to live your life as more than a conqueror. I'm saying, hey, I'm not just trying to win. I am a winner. It's a whole different mindset of understanding who you are, what you're about, where you're going, when you realize that, hey, through the work, the finished work of Calvary, that I'm already completed the race that's ahead of me. I live with this assurance that nothing can separate me from this love of God. I have a bold confidence that nothing can separate me through this love of God. Through him, I'm the winner. I'm the conqueror. There's nothing on this universe that has the power to pull me away from his love. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. Sometimes I say, well, you know, I could live for God, but I would live for God except for, I would live for God if his word says that I'm more than a conqueror. And there's no ifs or buts. There's no maybes. It's already done. It's completed. Let me just put this out there. If I'm always living on an if, I'll fall prey to the if. They've already think in my mind, well, I could fail today. You already failed. Now, I'm not talking about falling short. I'm talking about not living for God. I'm talking about quitting, giving up, throwing in the towel. If you come out, it's like if a fighter walked into a ring and he's like, hey, I'm going to lose this fight. I'm already beat. Well, he might as well just go ahead and lay down. Take the punch. Don't endure the pain, for heaven's sake. Just quit. We have to walk into this battle knowing that I am already a winner and that I've already conquered. And there, listen, in the scripture even tells us sometimes we may lose a battle, but we're not going to lose the war. And that when I fall down, I'm going to get back up. And when I bruise my knee, when I have a bloody nose, and when life doesn't go exactly like I think it ought to go, I'm still going to get up and go again. I'm not going to let the circumstances of today drag me down, keep me down, keep me under, and I'm going to be a conqueror. But I am a conqueror. I have already finished the race because God has said so. Somebody just say amen or something. How many believe they're more than a conqueror today? All right. So there's nothing in this universe. He loved me, and he will always love me. And his love will supersede any force that might come against me. So no matter what I'm walking through life, things present nor things to come. Things present nor things to come. Things present nor things to come. I know that we don't even know past, and I know that I've heard this preached before, and this is not actually in this passage of Scripture, but he never mentions our past because God always redeems our past. He said, nor things present, nor things to come. But there's another thought that I had about that this morning. Not only does he redeem our past, but he puts us in a position to promote our future. It's not just that he erases our past, he positions to promote our future. So whatever thing that you've already been through, let it put you in a position to promote your future. If I live in my past, my future is unclear. If I live in my future, my past is forgotten. He gives us a set of eyes for what tomorrow will bring. The enemy only brings up what's happened in the past. So he gives us the power to overcome our past, to live in our present, and to see into our future. That's the kind of love it is. His love conquers all things. When life hits you in the face, his love picks you up. There's nothing, worship team, you can come. There's nothing in this world that can keep us from his love. And when I turn my back on him, his love never gives up. We win. Everybody say we win. We've talked about this over the last few weeks about the power of God in our life. And if you study the book, if you study the chapter in Romans 8, that if we live by the Spirit of God, we're winners. Listen, this old flesh is corruptible. It's not, you know, there's no good thing in us. But when we go after the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, and we live our life according to what the Spirit is speaking and what the Spirit is saying. At that moment of our life, we're led by the Spirit of God. We are truly the sons of God. As being the sons of God, we walk in this overcoming, victorious attitude. And I want to just clarify this one more time. I want to say it again. Our failure doesn't determine our mistake, does it have any bearing on our future? I told someone a few weeks ago, I said, like, I feel like I've, for a couple of years now, I've been preaching this love of God. Feels like almost every time I get in the pulpit. And sometimes I get to feeling like I'm being redundant. Like, hey, listen, that's what you preached last week or the week before that. But I really feel like God's trying to give us a revelation that only comes through revelation. You got to hear it, but today I want you to catch it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're preaching truth that his love never fails. And you've heard that. But here's the connection. That he's crazy in love with me. It's not that his love, and it's so easy to say, hey, so-and-so, listen, God still loves you. How many times have you told other people, God still loves you? It's okay. God still loves you. God's for you. It's going to be all right. But that when you're in the pit, you can't see his love anywhere. We have to have a revelation that he still loves us even when we fall short. And if we just have a religious view of God, we're always going to think more about his judgment than his love. Like God's waiting for us to fail. Or God's loving us according to our goodness. And the truth of the matter is God loves us no matter what. And when we understand that, then we fail less. Because his love lifts us to a higher place. His love takes us to a greater understanding. His love brings greater revelation in our life. That we're winners. And we're on a winning team. We're not in a losing situation. This is not a quest for survival. So much of what we've done in the past is we've tried to survive. Let's just survive for God. I'm just trying to survive. If I can just make it through another day. I'm just a weary pilgrim running my last mile home. Like, woe is me. I'm going to get drug across the gates of glory. And he's going to say, you fell in. Glad you made it. You almost didn't, but you slid right under the gate just before it closed. Instead of bringing heaven to earth. What a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. You brought heaven to earth. You brought your kingdom to this earth. And you brought it through me. You've already crowned me. You've already touched my life. You've already spoke life over me. No, I may not have the crown of glory, but I've got a crown upon my head as a king. Kid, I'm already living in the kingdom. I'm already walking in the kingdom. I'm already living an overcoming life. I'm already living in his peace. I'm already walking in his joy. I'm not waiting for heaven. I'm bringing heaven down. And I'm letting heaven work through me. But what about when I fail? It's okay. Get up. Don't wallow in your failure. Don't lay in your mistake. Don't let the devil drag you through the mud. You're better than that. You're a king's kid. And he loves you with this crazy kind of magnificent, abundant love. If getting to heaven, you had to be perfect, we all just ought to quit now. Even the most perfect among you. But when you just get a revelation of his love. And how much he cares about you. even when your life is not in its perfect position, the one who is perfect redeemed your brokenness. I was praying with someone a few weeks ago, and I was praying, and I know that it came to me from the Lord, and I just started praying it out of obedience. But it was almost funny. I got tickled at myself, because as I was praying for him, I started praying. I don't even remember who it was, but I was just praying over it. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. But then Jesus came. And I got tickled. I had to stop praying because I got tickled, because I'm quoting a nursery rhyme over this person. But honestly, we feel like sometimes we fell off the wall and nothing can put us back together again. Can I tell you today, you're already back together. You're a king's kid. Yes. And when you say, "Here I am, Lord," you're good. You're faithful. You love me so much. I thank you for this day. I want our prayer team to come.